another wonderful opportunity for me to bring to you the Word of God. And as we come to the Scriptures today, we trust that the Spirit of God will make it very, very precious and very clear to your heart and to my heart. We have been dealing in this first chapter of Ephesians with the work of God in our redemption, the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, whom the Father chose, the Son paid for, and the Spirit possessed. We are indeed God's purchased possession. And you can be assured of one fact, that the Lord will take care of His possession. Now, following this, in chapter 1, there is given to us the prayer of the Apostle Paul, from chapter 1, verse 15, to the end of the chapter. And this is a prayer for knowledge. When we come to chapter 3 of Ephesians, we have the next prayer for the Apostle Paul, and this is a prayer for fellowship and power. Now, the reason for the prayer is found in verses 15 to 17, and I would like to read those verses to you. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You'll notice the reason for the prayer in verses 15 to 17. It's a marvelous thing to me to realize that Paul's life was one of unceasing praise and prayer. One cannot read the epistles of Paul, whether it be Romans, Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, any of these books, Galatians, you find that it's a life of unceasing praise and prayer. When I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I heard of your love for all the saints, I ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, it's a wonderful thing that these Ephesian believers in the early church, their faith was known, and their love toward men was known. I wonder if that could be said of you and me, where our faith toward God is so well known, and our love for the people of God, for men and women, is known. You say, I can't see your faith except as it is demonstrated. God sees my faith. Men experience my love. That's why when the Lord Jesus talks to his disciples, by this shall all men know that you're my followers, if you have love one for the other. This is something you experience. Because love is not something that is dead. Love manifests itself by sacrifice, by doing things, where we become unselfish in doing something for the one whom we love. And Paul here could thank the Lord for the faith they had toward God and of their love they had one for another. And because of this, he ceased not to give thanks. Unceasing prayer, unceasing thanksgiving. I'm reminded of those verses in the fifth chapter of the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, where he speaks of unceasing joy, unceasing prayer, and unceasing thanksgiving. This ought to characterize the people of God. It's a wonderful thing that in the early church, some of these churches, their faith toward God was spread abroad. I wonder sometime if we, our churches today in our land, if we know very much about the faith and love of other Christians. Sometimes we throw barriers up between each other, and the result is we do not have the experience and the joy of knowing of the faith of the other Christian and of his love for God's people. Again, I suggest, the more you claim to love the Lord, the more you'll manifest that in your love toward God's people. And hence, you'll be filled with unceasing prayer and unceasing praise. Now, in verse 17, we have the source of our knowledge. Now, notice in this verse that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, these dear Christians had faith, they had love, but they needed to know something of God's purposes. Now, we've been speaking of this in the first few verses, especially verses 8 through 10 of chapter 1, the same chapter. But the source of their knowledge is in God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The source of our knowledge is in God the Father. And you'll notice that He is called the Father of glory. The Father of glory. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 7, the second verse, we read that the God of glory appeared unto Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. Now this speaks of God in His majesty. This speaks of God in His authority. This speaks of God in the fact that He's God and knows everything, His omniscience and all the wonderful attributes of God. As the God of glory, He appeared unto Abram and said, "Get out." And Abram got out. Who wouldn't when the God of glory appeared unto him? You find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, that He's called the Lord of glory. We read, "Therefore, had they known it, the princes of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And then in the 24th Psalm, two or three times He is called in that Psalm the King of glory. "Open up ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in." Who is this King of glory? And He goes on to speak of our Savior in exaltation. And by the way, if you were to take the book of John, chapter 17, that great prayer of our Savior, notice that the keynote, especially of the first few verses, is the glory of God. "Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Father, I will that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." I'm quoting John chapter 17, the first two verses, in verse 5, verse 22, and verse 24. As these verses come to my mind, the glory of God, as I said in the first part of the chapter, we're saved. The ultimate purpose of redemption, of our salvation, is the glory of God. And now the God of glory, the Father of glory, is the source of all knowledge. And by the way, it's a gift from God that He would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. God wants you and me to know Him. Now, I recognize that God gives according to our capacity. You remember in John chapter 16, verses 12 to 13, Jesus said to His disciples, "There are many things I would like to say unto you, but you can't bear them now." That is, you do not have the capacity to receive it. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." It's a gift from God. God wants you to know Him. He wants you to be filled with a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's not so much that you want to know God. God wants you to know Him. It's not that God is holding back. The fact is that we're holding back. And He wants to really increase our capacity to see the wonderful truths in Christ. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of all His knowledge. You remember in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 3, we read there that God has hidden in Him, that is in Christ, all His wisdom and all His knowledge. The riches of His wisdom and knowledge are centered in Christ Jesus. And this so got a hold of the Apostle Paul in Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10, in fact, from verses 6 to 10, where Paul says, "I count everything but loss just to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering." You can't read the book without realizing this tremendous yearning to know God. You remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel says, "The people that know their God shall be strong." In the 103rd Psalm, God made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. And the great cry of Moses, for example, in the book of Exodus chapter 33, when Moses said to God, "Show me now thy way, that I may know thee." And God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." How is Moses going to know God? God says, "My presence shall go with thee." How can you know God today? He has said, "My presence shall go with thee." He's revealed this in his word. He's already made known to us the mystery of his will. That which he has prefaced in himself through the countless ages of eternity, he makes known to the people of God today. The problem is that we do not have the capacity to receive it. And I'm sure that the Lord today is willing to increase your capacity and my capacity for the truth of God. The only question is, will you and I take the time for God to speak to us? We run round day after day. Our days are simply jammed full of programming, of purposes, of wanting to do this and wanting to do that, and we budget our time, and every half hour and every hour is accounted for, and little time for God. You see, we don't take the time to let God speak to us. This is why we're so ignorant of the things of Christ. We do not take the time to let God talk to us. And here I find that the Apostle Paul is saying, The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, and the revelation in the knowledge of him. I say, God wants to give that to you, that you may know him. You have this in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, in the prayer of Paul there, when he said, in verse 9, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." What for? "And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom," in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He wants you to know, and he wants me to know, his purposes and his counsel. And I just trust as we go into this book of Ephesians, there will be the cry of your heart and my heart that God will increase our capacity for the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. And to be like Paul when he could say, "I count everything but loss just to know him. The things that were gained to me, the things that I used to run after, I count them just the refuse of the streets, just to be found in him, just to know him." Oh, God grant that you and I today might have an increasing passion to know Christ Jesus. And may I say, he will not make himself known apart from his word. The full revelation of Christ is found in the scriptures. But I'll never know it unless I take the time to search and to meditate on the Word of God, and the Spirit of God then will reveal to you and to me the wonders of his wisdom, of his knowledge, of his counsel. Oh, friends, God grant in these days of uncertainty, days of lack of peace, and day that's so full of perplexity, that we can turn to him and know that he will direct, that he will reveal to us his purpose and his counsel, even for us today. And the Lord bless you, and make this a day of reveling in him for his name's sake.